Well, good day, everybody, and welcome again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Manona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we are the owners and operators of the Wash and Word. That's the hand car washing business, and we opened that business for the sole purpose of getting the Word of God in all of its entirety into the public and doing it in a way that is a little bit non-traditional from the four walls of the church. And so that's what the Wash and Word is. It's a hand car washing business. You can find us in the Powell Shopping Center on Highway 11W in Church Hill. And we invite you to come by. Let us wash your car. This is how we earn the money to bring forth these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. We're a business and we are a ministry. And if you have any questions, you can go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com, washandword.com, or call 423-920-0913. That's 423-920-0913. So, again, you can find out anything you need by going to the website or calling that phone number. So let's not waste any time talking about stuff like that. Let's get back into the Word of God. And again, we do this in a verse-by-verse format because we are very strong believers that the entire counsel of God's Word is not only important, but it's absolutely vital for the world that we live in today. The whole counsel of God's Word has been vital since the day it was written. And God never intended us to pick and choose the parts of His Word that we would either read or study, and especially pick and choose parts that we would obey. So we are called, we've always been called to read His whole Word, to understand His whole Word, to obey His whole Word. And this is why we do the verse-by-verse teaching. So let's pick it up where we left off. We're in verse 11. Yeah, let's try that again. We're in chapter 11, and we covered verses 1 and 2. And we started talking about, Paul said, I'm sorry, I said chapter 11. We're in chapter 12. We covered verses 1 and 2. So we're chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, and in verses 1 and 2, Paul changes his subject material from what we've been talking about, which is a lot of it is, again, you can go back and listen to our archive messages. If you go to washandword.com, click on the media tab, we have all of our messages there. They're free to download, free to listen to, encourage you to share them. But that all aside, Paul switches gears now and he starts talking about spiritual gifts. And he starts off by saying in verse 1 that I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Unfortunately, that's the one thing that the church, by and large, has become ignorant of. And we started talking about the idea of idolatry. Because Paul says that in verse 2, when you were pagans, you were influenced and you were led astray to mute idols. Basically saying that, listen, as Christians, you aren't to be led astray anymore. You're not to idol anything but the Lord Himself. And, you know, we talked about how in Corinthian, in Corinth, they were a very idol-worshipping city. That was what they were known for. And the last thing we talked about was that idolatry is any concept or anything that begins to possess us, exercise control over us, or shapes our thinking, or demands our time. So if that's the definition of idolatry, then we are all subject to it. And that's something that we need to be very careful of in the society that we live in today. And the reason that spiritual things are so popular today, especially among unbelievers and pagans per se, is because we as humans were created to be possessed. Now, I know that sounds a little weird, but we as humans were created to be possessed. That possession, well, was supposed to be and is supposed to be God Himself. Now that Christ has come and He has given the Holy Spirit, we are to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about possession, it's about being completely overtaken or controlled by or ruled by something else. That's what possession is. And so anything that replaces the possession of God in our lives is idolatry. And there are things that cause us to be idolaters that we don't even realize and that we would not even think were things that God would pass judgment on. Because we can all sit here and say, you know, there are, yeah, sure, if I hold my possessions over God, or, you know, I my car or my house or my job, these are the obvious idols that we put in place. But how about your children? Have you ever idolized your children? Have you ever idolized your spouse? How about this one? Has your ministry become an idol? You say, how could these things be an idol? This is the things that God called us into. This is what God wants us to be consumed by. But listen, even noble things can become idols if we put them ahead of the Lord. And again, we all are aware of the popular idols, you know, sports, politics, different kinds of recreation, music, art, science, you know, all of that stuff, whatever we live for, and under some circumstances maybe die for, well, that is an idol of our life. And again, children, spouse, ministry, these noble things can be idols. A few messages ago, and again, if you go to washandword.com, you can get those messages if you ever wanted to catch up to where we are. But we were talking about how Paul was labeling the man as the head, the woman subjected to the man, but the man also subjected to Christ. And in those messages, the reason we looked at how when Paul referred to the man as the head is the sensual organ of the body. And what I meant by that is 4 out of 5 of our senses, taste, see, hear, smell, all come from our head. So this is an important part of our body. It's the control center, if you will. And elsewhere in the Word, it says that the peace of God, Paul says, let it guard your hearts and let it guard your minds. And I'm gonna connect the dot here. When it comes to your head and your mind, you know, Colossians 3:2 says to set your mind on things above. Romans 12:2 says to renew your minds. Again, guard your hearts and your minds. And in just about every list in the New Testament that is against God, there are several lists that the writers will put forth, saying that these types of people, these types of behaviors, these types of lifestyles will keep you from heaven. And on almost every one of those lists, the word sorcery is on there. You say, well, how are we connecting the dots here? Well, think about this for a minute. Okay, the word sorcery in the Bible comes from the root word of pharmakeia. Now, pharmakeia is where we get our word pharmaceuticals, or pharmacy, or drugs. Let's move on. Look at verse 3. Paul says, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. So taking that verse, and in regards to what we just talked about, protecting the mind, okay? In ancient days, many priests and idol worshippers, yes, even priests, they would use drugs to bring their minds into a stoned stupor. And then the words and the thoughts and the things that they see under those drug-induced stupors, many times unintelligible words, they would write them down, or someone would be there to write them down, and they would regard them as divine. So their minds, under the influence of drugs, would write down what they considered to be divine, inspired interpretations. And they would take these and this would become teachings. But it was led not by the Holy Spirit, but by Satan himself. There's an old story. I don't know if any of you remember the song out there back in the 60s. It was a song by Iron Butterfly. And the song was Inagata De Vida. You guys remember that one? Inagata De Vida, baby. Well, the story goes that when the band member that wrote that song tried to present it to the rest of the band, he was drunk and stoned off of his mind. And instead of saying, hey guys, I got a new song, it's called In the Garden of Eden, it came out because he was so messed up, Inagata De Vida. So they wrote it down and recorded the song Inagata De Vida. But the original part of that song was supposed to be In the Garden of Eden. And it just goes to show that the things that we say when we're not in our right mind, this is why Paul was so adamant about protecting the mind. He wrote about it so many different times in so many different letters that we have to guard our minds. And oftentimes they would come out of these things with ramblings and babblings and unknown languages, and they would call them divine. Now, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit gift of speaking in tongues. You say, well, how did I get on this? Why am I talking about this? Well, listen, if we go back to verse 2, it says, you know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. This automatically introduces a control factor. Led astray or influenced, he says. So it's something that has to do with controlling. Now, tying it back to what we were just talking about, the mind control is demonic by nature. That is, that our minds can be controlled by things that alter our minds. And if the mind or the head is the control center of the body, the epicenter of feeling and thought, then it stands to reason that you control the body. The mind controls the body. So, going back to that list of behaviors that will not be allowed in heaven, and sorcery being on that list, listen, this is for somebody out there. Sorcery, again, coming from the Greek word pharmakia, meaning drugs, meaning sorcery. So sorcerers will not get into heaven is the same thing as saying drug addicts are part of that list of sinful behaviors or drugs in general. Why? Because when you take drugs, you alter your mind, you influence, and you become led astray. And an open mind that has been opened by drugs is a doorway or a gateway for demons to come in. So when we drink too much or we smoke pot or we take drugs, we are opening the doorway for our lives and our minds and our bodies and our wills to be controlled and led astray by idols. Listen, mankind will always be open to the influence and the control of other forces, whether they be demonic or whether they be angelic in nature. Because again, back to what we've been talking about, we were created to be filled. We seek and desire that type of fulfillment. This is how God created us, but we were always meant to seek the Lord for that filling. And this is why religion is so popular. This is why materialism is so popular. Overspending is a god and an idol. And when people find out that going through all these things only leaves them empty and broke, and sometimes even suicidal. So friends, guard your hearts, guard your minds, fill your quest and your searching with the Holy Spirit. And we do this through Jesus Christ. I hope these teachings are going forth in power. I hope they're blessing you. I hope they're challenging you more than anything. We invite you to come by the Wash and Word. Let us work on your car, and this is how we support this ministry. Well, that's it for today. Have a blessed day.